Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. I have an amazing guest, Annika Zubair, and she's the VP of Customer Success at a company called Carbon. And we're going to mainly talk about success plans, but also a little bit about how much she contributes to the customer success community. So can't wait to dig in. Annika, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having me. I'm super excited today. And I've been watching your YouTube channel grow over what feels like years. There's such a great community that you've created here of amazing people sharing and learning from each other. So I'm excited to be here and contribute and talk about customer success plans because I'm passionate about it. So I'm really excited to get deep into this topic.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us again. Before we dig into success plans, how do you do it? What should you include in it? What's the process like? How do you make a success plan successful? Annika, you're such a superstar. First of all, not a lot of people know it, but you actually started and founded a customer success community. Tell us about that a little bit.
I'm one of the co-founders of CSM LDN, which stands for Customer Success Manager London, basically. And it started 5 years ago. Myself, Marcel, and Lauren, we were really just looking for other like-minded people within the London or Greater London area to come together and learn from each other. And I selfishly at the time was in one of my first leadership roles. And I was just like, hey, I want to learn from other leaders of how they're developing customer success. Creating the community was a little bit selfish in that sense, as I personally wanted to work and learn from others. But now I just feel like it's such an open opportunity for everyone to come and learn and give back to each other. But pre-pandemic, we did monthly meetups, different offices around London. But now we are kind of slowly moving back into offices and back into monthly meetups again. But that's the whole community is we're kind of offline. We are online. We obviously post things online, but our whole purpose is to create events where customer success professionals can come in person and have the opportunity to really network, learn, share best practices, you name it.
So basically, if you're in London or the UK in general, sign up for your community.
And definitely.
I love it. And besides managing a community, you also have your own podcast jointly partnered with a company called Black Plan Hat. Tell us about that. How did that get started?
Love podcasting. When I was a customer of Plan Hat, they actually said, hey, Annika, did you realize you have a podcast voice? And I didn't know how to take that. I was like unsure if that's a compliment or not. I was like, sure, okay. And I thought they were inviting me to be on the podcast. And I was like, that's a cool opportunity. But they were like, no, we would love for you to host it. Fast forward 2.5 years, here we are. The Customer Success Channel has thousands of downloads each month. And it's just awesome to see how yet another CS community, let's say a podcast of people sharing their customer success knowledge, has grown over the years. So it's released once a month, but that's really just a passion project of mine.
And people can find it on Spotify or...
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I think Google as well, like across multiple different places. All you have to search for is the Customer Success Channel.
Yeah, let's talk about success plans. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is to create a success plan for your strategic customers?
Yeah, I think 11. If wow. 10 is the highest. I've also worked in software where I've been in perpetual software before and now in subscription and SaaS space. And I have to say that I think that if you look at success planning and think about what it is, it's essentially project planning. If you think back to the early days of how implementations were done, and if you think about a true enterprise customer that it takes 6 months or longer in a sales cycle, and then it takes 6 months or longer to implement them, they're working on timescales. They're working on some sort of agenda where they want certain outcomes by a certain deadline. And as I tell customer success organizations that I lead, like, you're always going to want to put a plan in front of a customer, and you want to make sure you're laying it out and you're laying out what you're going to be bringing to the table, but what you expect for them to bring to the table, much like a project plan does, much like an implementation plan does.
Realistically, Annika, if you're a CSM, how many strategic plans can you create? AKA, there's some CSMs out there that have, the worst I heard is 300 customers per CSM.
I mean, that's fine if you're doing a digital led or low touch, but 300 and you're meeting with all of them?
Well, so I guess the plan is to meet with them once a year, or
I was to say, like, even if you meet like once a year, like,
I know
you don't even work 365 days a year. How do you plan that?
Right. So let's say that's a pooled model. Would you recommend success plans in a pooled model? By the way, for those who don't understand a pooled model, it means that you might have a bunch of very small customers, let's say 2,000 very small customers. But there's a bunch of you as a CSMs, that are actually managing those 2,000. So instead of having every account assigned CSM, they have an assigned group of CSMs that deal with the customers as needed, either proactively through alerts, the data-driven alerts, or proactively because the customer reached out.
Yeah.
Would you do success plans for those customers?
I would say yes, and with the caveat of templated, just like for any pooled customer success model, you have templates and playbooks in order to scale success for that number as well. So I wouldn't expect it to be as intricate or detailed as an enterprise customer that you're working with, where you are handholding and you're really talking to them about what's the first, second, third step. But I would still say there needs to be almost like a roadmap. Like, product has a roadmap, right? So like a customer success plan is essentially the roadmap for success teams to operate on and to execute on. Like, if you don't have a roadmap, where are you going? Like, some customers might use those features, but others might not. And some might renew and others might not. And it's really important to bring it back to that whole think of how product releases things on a roadmap. Think of a success plan as milestones that you have to release on a roadmap. So even in a pooled model, think about it like, okay, I have a year to have this customer renew. Yeah. If I work backward from a year, every quarter, I have to do X in my pooled model, or every 6 months, I have to do Y. And it's just, I think of it as like time increments of when you should be doing things and a roadmap, essentially. So whether you're 3,000 customers in your portfolio or $1 million customer, whatever the case is, just look at it as like timekeeping with your customers.
At a high touch model, obviously, you'll explain how you do it. Mm-hmm. But at a very lower touch, just wanted to say, you know, if you have a lot of customers, this is still relevant, is my point. And there's a way to do it. Step number one, right, Annika, is to understand what the outcome is. What is the desired outcome of the customer? So we don't have to have a conversation with that. Sometimes we can do a quick questionnaire and find out. Obviously, I have a very small business relatively to some of the other companies that are listening to this video. But I had a subscription for a $15 app. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I submitted a cancellation request, the email back was, hey, before you cancel, what did you want to achieve? Can you tell us? And I wrote out a paragraph, you know, these are the results that I was expecting to get. They emailed me back a success plan. They said, well, if you want to do this, you should do this, then you should do this. And it had step-by-step instructions, screenshots. I mean, the whole,
nobody
ever talked to me. But I got the PDF. I loved it. And by the way, I think they could have done like a quick Loom video to explain this to me.
Yeah.
They could have even upsell me, you know, a little workshop, a 101. Yeah. I would have paid for it because I actually wanted those business results. So I want to say, everybody that listens to this, there's a way to do it in a more agile manner. Mm-hmm. And Annika, I want you to break down like the very first step, because I feel like as a planner, you have a beginning, a middle, and the end for every process, right? So before you talk to a customer, when you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have to do a success plan for this customer, what do you do before you even talk to them?
I think it's so important to understand what outcomes your customer is trying to get with your product. You already said it, but really truly understand. And I think the way that you can do this is literally sign up for a trial of your product or go through demo environment and really walk through what you expect your customers to do. And that's how you would build out the correct customer journey. Meaning, like you said, in 6 months or in 12 months or in 24 months, work through it. Like, sit in the customer's shoes, look at your product, understand, okay, Well, my first step in my plan is to tell them to integrate with this product and to then pull data from this source. Well, if that's the case, then you do it and realize, hey, how long did it take me to do this? In a realistic world, how can I expect my customers to do this when they have 10 other things on their to-do list for the day that doesn't include Carbon or whatever software they've decided to purchase from my company? And I think just mapping that out, so really understanding, hey, this is my customer journey. This is what 12 months at Carbon or at any other software company looks like. And once you have at least the 12 months, I'm going on an annual renewal. If you guys have multi-year contracts or monthly, just change to what you think is best. But look at that 12 months and fully understand, hey, this is what I'm expecting a customer to do. Now, the second thing I will say is really important is understanding use cases. Why did they buy your product? Is it because of reducing time their team is spending in a certain way? Or is it because they want to optimize certain data? Is it because they want to like bring their customers together? What is the reason why they're buying your app or your product? And break that down into use cases, because that'll also help you build that success plan.
So you do that in general, as you set up the process as a team leader, you're trying to classify or identify a few use cases that are fairly popular with your customer base. That's just in general, in terms of a strategy, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. Like regardless if you're doing success plans or not, I would hope you are if you're listening to us today. But if you're not, it's just, this is all coming back to that customer journey and building out that roadmap for your customers and what you as a CSM or a CS leader needs to do in order to execute for your company and your team. So this is, I think, like the ground foundation for everything in success, but you can use this towards that success plan build as well.
Okay. So step number one, you've never done success plans before, get your team in place, maybe whiteboard virtually or not, the main use cases. Now, why is it important to identify them? What are you going to do? Like now I have a list of five main use cases that are relevant for my customers. What do I do with this?
No, great question. I think the use cases then drive the actions you're hoping your customers are going to make with your product. And then that derives how you're going to act. So let's say the end result is to, I don't know, engage or send X number of emails. If you're a marketing software, it's like, oh, you want your customers to be using your software to send so many emails per week, right? Mm-hmm. And that is your use case. They want to send a certain amount of emails to get a certain amount of conversion, let's say for whatever campaign they're working on. Then once you have that use case, you can work backward to understand, okay, that's the end goal. Then map the aha moments, map the process, map the metrics that they need to hit. Right. If the goal is 100 emails a week, what is it that they need to be doing every day to hit that 100 emails? And then think about what is it that I, as a CSM, need to be helping them with to hit those goals. So first mapping that out to understand, defining it. And then once you have those use cases, you step in as a CSM. How do I help them get to that 100 emails or whatever the milestone is?
Okay. So it sounds like if you're a CSM team leader and listening to this video, step number one is identify the main use cases and then really document for your team. What is in general, do we want to recommend customers to do? Mm-hmm. And what should you as a CSM be doing?
Yeah.
In terms of the customer, what should they be doing? You mentioned training or video or knowledge base articles that they should be reading. So just as training, educating and understanding best practices. What are the things that they should be doing? Like how should they incorporate it into their daily or key processes? So things that they should be doing every day. Mm-hmm. What metrics should they be starting to monitor to understand what are the success criteria? Who should be helping with, like internally, do they need IT? Do they need like, who do they need internally to be part of this? Yeah. Was there anything else that you typically include in terms of the recommendations? And by the way, these are just standard so that your team doesn't start from scratch. What's the baseline here? And then you can tweak it for each customer, but you don't want to yours. What I'm hearing you say is that plan ahead. Don't let your CSM each come up with their own customized success plan for each unique use case, because that's not scalable.
No, definitely not. And I think anyone who's been at a startup or scale up knows that things move 10 times faster than you're ready for it. And yeah. Yes, you might let your CSM run one success plan, but next week they're going to have to run 10 because you're suddenly growing so fast. And right. I'm sure this story is relatable to quite a few people listening, but I would say build that template, much like you have a playbook, like, hey, what do you do for renewals? Okay, this is what we do 90 days before. This is what we do 60. This is what we do 30. That's a success plan template as well. Now you can use any medium you'd like. Like I know there's a lot of CS tools that have success plans built into them. I've personally used an Excel sheet before. Who doesn't love Excel? And so yeah. I've literally put across the top, like what are the different categories that we're tracking and then who's responsible for each part of it.
You said categories. What do you mean by categories?
For example, like you want to identify the goal or the use case, like we said. So make sure that that's one column within the sheet. And then another point is how do you measure that? So the goal is 100 emails or the goal is emails, let's say. The goal is emails and sending emails to your customers if you're a marketing automation tool. The metric that you want to tie to that is related back to, again, the use case. Maybe it's 100. Maybe you guys have identified that 100 means healthy use of our product. Or maybe the customer says 1,000. Whatever the, again, the metric is, make sure that's tagged into your success plan. And then finally, the third category or column in this spreadsheet should be who's responsible. Yeah. So really, like, what are we chasing? How are we measuring against it? And then who's going to actually help us get to this goal? Is it marketing ops? Is it the CSM? Is it someone in IT on the other side? You need to identify who is responsible for this. Yeah.
And then there must be a section that says, what are we going to do?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like there's action points as well. So once there's takeaways from this. So right now, this is just like the overall arching timeline of events, right? And then it's the action plan and when things are due date as well. That's another two parts that you should include as well. Once you have the first three columns, which is again, someone who, what's the goal, what's the metric we're tagging and who's responsible, you should also put a deadline on all things. Just like we were talking about that full customer journey. Course. 6 months, 12 months, whatever the case is, put a deadline. Yeah. And then how are we going to get there? Is it through calls like this where we consult our customers? Is it through them participating in a learning management system course? It's a different action each time.
That's very cool. And I think like preparing in advance for specific goals is extremely smart because collating all the knowledge base and videos that we want to watch when a customer wants to do X, like every single time is not very scalable. If you could have like a list of recommended stuff for each, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that, again, I think customer success came out of being reactive and then we wanted to be proactive. But I really think that success into the future should be prescriptive. A lot of people don't know what they don't know. Like how many times do you know all the buttons across Zoom right now and what they all do? Like sometimes some people just don't know what's right in front of them and you have to be prescriptive and let them know, hey, to really get the return on investment that you're paying for our software, you guys should really be doing X, Y, and Z. And I've been on plenty of calls where customers have asked, hey, what are some of your best customers doing with your software? Or what are the best use cases of your software? Everybody wants to know and everybody wants to get better, but you have to, as a CSM, prescribe that to them as well sometimes.
How do you share your Excel spreadsheet with clients? Do you share it?
Yeah, it has to be shared. I 100% always say that wherever you're deciding to host your success plan, whether it's Google Sheets or CS software or whatever you decide to do, it must be a shared location because this is not just us dictating to the customer because they need to participate. They need to engage. Yeah. They need to do the work as much as us telling them where the points of improvement are. So I would say that the best way to do that is to have some sort of shared area where A, you've laid it out, you've been prescriptive, you've told the customer, this is what I think as a professional who knows the software well, you should be doing. And they should comment back. They should be engaging and saying, yes, this makes sense. Or actually, this is not a focus for us. We don't really want to use your software for this reason. And for them to communicate back. Now, this is, again, dependent on the type of model you have, enterprise or pooled. So it really depends on the type of customer you're servicing.
Most of your success plans are how much far into the future are you planning? So is this a success plan typically for 3 months or for a year?
So we usually do 6 months, and then with the vision of like a blank space for the year, because we know that it's going to come up for the renewal, but we don't do quarterly business reviews. We usually do executive business reviews, and that's, we call them carbon business reviews.
And those are once a year?
Not once a year. It's usually every 6 months. But so we work towards the success plan every 6 months, knowing that the carbon business review is coming at the 6 months. So, yeah. And that's usually when our executive buyer is on the call as well. So it's usually a good place to showcase how far the success plan has come and what we've accomplished and what's worked really well and what we need to continue to work on in the next 6 months towards that renewal phase as well.
Yeah. And because you actually have quantifiable metrics and you say, okay, we were hoping for 1,000 emails within the next 6 months. We're at 500. We're 50% from goals. You can actually quantify how far you are.
You have to, because otherwise everyone's going to want to know a return on investment on a software. Yeah. And maybe some softwares out there have it built into the data and it's already there in a pretty dashboard, which if you're at one of those companies, awesome, lovely. Yeah. But some companies don't have that ROI built into a dashboard where your customer is visualizing it, and you have to visualize it for them, whether that's in a spreadsheet, in a dashboard you've created. Yeah. But a success plan really says, you told me specifically, hey, Anika, in 1 year, this is what we're hoping to achieve with your software. Mm-hmm. And at that year mark, if we've hit those goals, then cool, awesome. If we haven't, it's a moment of reflection for both parties to really understand what's going on. But what's great is even along the way from 0 to 12 months, you're seeing the progression or not as a CSM. If you're not seeing your customer progress, that's an immediate red flag of let's readjust, or let's really have an honest conversation about, are these goals realistic? Is the customer pulling their weight? Are they actually using the software the way they said they were going to? So it's, again, lots of points to make sure you're engaged with your customer.
Absolutely. You know, what I found sometimes is that you have to break down the metrics to leading indicators and lagging indicators. So leading indicators would be the customer says they want to send 100 emails every month, but they don't want to really spam their customers. What they really want to achieve is how many leads they generate because they send those additional emails, if it's a marketing platform, which everybody knows. So it's an easy example. I'm going to roll with it. Honestly, like I think even for my world, right? I help companies build the strategy for customer success. So sometimes they say, yeah, let's build me the customer success plan process and build a success plan template. I was like, okay, if we accomplish both, that's a leading indicator. Okay, thumbs up, we've done it. Though, did you get more renewals? I wouldn't even know that until like a year after I finished my project, which at that point, they're no longer my customers. So that would be like lagging indicators. But I think it's important to denote both. Like, what is the success of the success plan? Okay, we've accomplished all the things that we told you that you needed to do in order to get to that business end goal. But I think it's important for an ROI perspective for the customer to keep their eyes on the ball, so that eventually when they do see a ticket up, they associate it with the work that you've done.
For sure. 100%. And again, a success plan sounds great because the word success comes in front of it, but it can be both leading and lagging. And the lagging are equally as important. Leading is awesome. Leading is you obviously almost proving to your customer that you bought us and you bought us for a reason. And here's all the data to show you why you bought us. But lagging, I think, is really where the power is, because lagging is where the CSM is able to really hone in their talents of being a product advocate and showcasing and educating the customer of what they need to be doing next. But I also think that lagging is where you set up those calls and you're able to actually have engaging and meaningful conversations with your customers, because there's clearly some things that aren't working. If everything was always a success, then what are we all doing here?
Yeah, exactly. And you want to talk about lagging metrics with the executives, because sometimes, first of all, the people that you talk to on a daily basis to implement the success plan, they might not know. No. But when you present it back to the executive team, you'd say, hey, your team wanted to achieve this. We assume that this is to impact these business metrics. Are you starting to seeing a difference? Now, they could say yes or no. They say yes, great. Then they just told you that what you've done actually had an impact. If they said no, then this is an open conversation. Maybe we were aiming for the wrong things. Why is this happening? What else do you think we can do? And it actually can fortify the partnership.
For sure. And coming back to like why success plans or what is a success plan, why it's so important. You've just highlighted it for me, really. It's like your exec isn't on every call. They're probably on the last call to sign and say, yes, we're buying the software. They're probably on a kickoff call to say, hello, I'm the executive sponsor. But then they disappear. They let everyone else who's the champion of the product or the owner of that product use it, implement it, really get into the weeds of it. But trust me, when you ask for either more seats or an increase or an uptell or something, you best believe that executive is going to come back into the conversation because you're dipping into their budget for more software. And they're going to want to know, why should I bring this to the table? And a success plan lays it out, both what's great and working well, but maybe what's lagging. And if it is lagging in things that you can uptell, saying, oh, well, actually, if you do X, Y, and Z with our services team, or you end up purchasing our larger plan, we can actually work towards some of these goals as well. So I just think that it's, again, something that it's like a meeting agenda. You don't come to a meeting without a set point of plan or ideas that you are definitely going to cover in that meeting. And a success plan is just that. It is your meeting agenda for the first 6 months of engaging with the customer, or 12 months, or whatever your timeline is.
I love that. That's such a great way to think about it. Okay, so you have all of that. You have the templates. You figured out the use cases. You kind of know what the process is. As a CSM, you've never done a success plan with this customer before. You just pick up the phone and say, hey, Mr. Customer, I want to build a success plan for you. What are your outcomes?
I would work it into a conversation of presenting an action plan or next steps plan. So I'm sure there's some sort of call you're having with your customer to say, okay, let's go over, you know, using a certain feature, or it's time for a business review, let's say, as well, whatever the cadence is of you having a call with your customer, and introduce it in that call. So I'm sure you have slides. I'm sure you're going over something in slides or some sort of presentation.
Sure. You recommend creating a slide is what you're saying. Create a slide.
Create a slide.
What does the slide say? I don't have it. What does it say?
Well, it'll say, like, let's say it's Irit's success plan across the top. And then I will say your goals, or the goals that I think that you should be aiming towards with our product. And then again, the metrics that we've maybe discussed in the past that you know that you want to achieve or something like that. And then a deadline on these things. It's just a project plan if you think about it. It's like, so what are we actioning?
I think I'm hearing you say, before you talk to the customer, create a success plan based on whatever it is you already know about the customer. Guesstimate it and say, hey, here's what I think. Does this resonate with you? Yeah. Don't start from scratch. Don't come with this big open-ended question.
No. Because when you come with that big open-ended, what's going to happen is your customer is going to sit there dumbfounded. They're going to be like, well, I bought your services. Aren't you the expert that's supposed to be helping me? That's where the prescriptive comes in play, is you're going to want to come in saying, hey, customer, by the way, I've created this. In no way is this set in stone. In no way is this like a hard and fast, we have to do X, Y, and Z in 6 months. But this is what I have seen other customers be successful with our product that have similar use cases or in the similar industry as you. And then I think that you guys should be following this in the next 6, 12, whatever timeframe. What do you think? I want this to be a collaborative approach, but I've taken the first step of drafting it. Please feel free to add your comments, your input. What do you think? Because a lot of times if you come with absolutely nothing in front of the customer, they're going to just say like, just help me get the product live, or just help me learn this feature. They're not going to think of the bigger plan. Your goal as a CSM is to think of that bigger plan, because they're not there to think of like 6 months or 12 months. They're just looking at, I need this product to work. I need to make my teams more efficient, whatever the case is.
I really enjoyed today's conversation. I got a lot out of it. I don't know about everybody else. I hope they did.